It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever.
Of
and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm Kondori and Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction and help you draft a will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Right now, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're going to win two tickets to Miss Lauryn Hill and the Fugees. The celebration continues with special guest YG Marley. Friday, August 23rd, Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. Congrats to whoever's going to win those tickets. That's an awesome show. Coming up in August out at Jiffy Lube Live. Big news of the day in D.C. sports we'll cover in the Beltway Blitz. Jason Wright is out as the team president of the Washington Commanders. Want to get into what this could mean for the future of the name and whether or not a decision on a rebrand gets affected by today's news at all. We could do that coming up in a little over 20 minutes. But let's kick off the Beltway Blitz right now. Talk some hoops. We start with the Wizards, summer league activity continuing, and Alex Sarr's struggles. So, Chase, I have not gotten the chance to ask anybody on the beat about this. I was out in Texas, but Sarr going 0-for-15 in a summer league game. How concerned should I be? I mean, that feels really hard to do, and that feels really scary for a summer league performance. I mean, you wouldn't even be allowed to take 15 shots if it's going that badly in a regular season game, obviously, but the level of competition is down, and he went 0-for-15. How should I feel?
Yeah, obviously it was not a good performance. I mean, he was going up against Donovan Clingan, who I think is going to be a really good defensive player at the next level. Of course, people remember him at UConn. But obviously going 0-for-15, something that he will hope never happens again. I think if you're trying to point a positive out, maybe it would be the fact that he did have a good game defensively. He's been good defensively through three games so far. He had three blocks, held Clingan to 3-for-10 from the field. So I think it is kind of a reminder that he's further along defensively than he is on the offensive end. And, you know, maybe you can take solace in the fact that even if his shot isn't falling, he can find other ways to impact the game. So I was encouraged by that. But, you know, watching that game and watching him in general this summer league, I think it's become pretty clear that he likes to play on the perimeter more so than on the inside. Like, what a usual seven-footer would like to do. And I think it's also becoming clear that it's going to be pretty important that they have somebody who can set the table for him on the offensive end because, like a lot of young players, he struggles to create his own shot.
Yeah, there's still, I think you touched on it, Chase. There's a lot I liked about it. Instead of just sort of hanging his head and grousing and pouting, he's as active as anybody on the court with the blocks you mentioned. I think he had one of his better rebounding games. And, you know, he was moving all over the place. I get the sense that this org now kind of has the right is in the right headspace. And what I mean is that's okay if the 18-year-old kid who's still pretty raw behaves like a kid that's still pretty raw. They're allowing him to go out and make those mistakes. Nobody's yanking him because he missed a three. I hope this happens in regular season too, not 0 for 15, but allowing him to go through some of the bad, to eventually come out on the other side. You don't draft somebody at number two because they can't take it. My hope is that he's allowed to have some down moments. Doesn't get yanked in crunch time or things like that. To me, it actually is a pretty good sign other than the not making any shots.
Right, and I think it'll be really interesting to see how he bounces back. He'll get his first opportunity tonight, assuming he plays, but the Wizards do play at 7 o'clock against the Sacramento Kings. They've got Drew Timmy, formerly of Gonzaga, so that could be a decent test at the big man spot. But, you know, watching him play offensively, it also kind of reminds me why they signed Jonas Valanciunas. Like, clearly, yep. Alex Starr is more comfortable playing off the ball, on the perimeter, as a four, maybe even kind of as like a three. And so they went out and signed Jonas Valanciunas in free agency, and he's much more of a traditional center, about 7 feet tall, you know, a big guy who can rebound and set screens, and those just aren't strengths for Alex Starr right now. So I think, you know, fans that maybe were wondering why did they sign Jonas Valanciunas, I think it's becoming more and more clear that they feel Alex Starr will be more comfortable if they have a guy, a big man, who can sort of do the traditional big man things.
Chase, on the flip side of his struggles, man, has Bub Carrington been impressive. What do you like so far?
Yeah, Bub Carrington has not only been arguably the most impressive player on the Wizards Summer League team, but I'm starting to see lists come out of, you know, the best rookies so far in Summer League, and he's making just about all of them because, you know, his shot has been kind of inconsistent, but what's been very consistent is the ability to score, get rebounds, and get assists. I mean, he flirted with a triple-double in his debut. Each game, I think he's had at least 5 assists and 5 rebounds. He's making, you know, timely plays at the end of games, almost tied the game the other night with a steal with 2 seconds left, and his shot just rimmed out. So his ability to create his own shot off the dribble, which we saw in college, which we saw at the NBA draft combine, has translated so far. And I think that's a great sign because he's going up against much more athletic players than he was used to in college. And so I think it's a good sign that it'll translate to the NBA level.
What have you seen from Kaijan George so far? To me, the shot is there. It's obvious. He's smooth with that part of his game. Looks like he needs to ramp up the physicality, a bit of explosion to kind of keep up with some of the better athletes in the league, especially some of these wings.
Yeah, certainly the shot has stood out. I mean, he shot 41% last year at the University of Miami from three, and it was about 2/3 of his attempts from the field were from three-point range. So that's obviously his bread and butter. And he's done a nice job shooting pretty efficiently in the summer league, picking his spots. And, you know, in the second game, I noticed because I was there in Vegas, he hit a few shots that were very closely contested and ran down the court with his hand over his face to kind of remind the other team of what he just did. And it just impressed me that he was able to beat that tough of defense because they were going up against the Rockets, who have had a great defense so far in the summer league. I also like his size for his position. It's 6'7 without shoes as a wing. You know, it really stands out on the court that he's big, you know, for the spot that he likes to play, which is on the wing. And I think he competes on the defensive end. But shooting right now is definitely the thing that stands out the most.
Chase, thank you. We appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
See you, dude.
All right, let's talk some football. And the huge news today on Grant and Danny from Commander's Land, Jason Wright out as team president. He will remain with the team as a senior advisor this season. But his 4-year run as president ends, and he'll leave at the end of the season. Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports joins us now. Mitch, what do you make of the breaking news today?
I mean, it's certainly big news, but I don't know that folks should be that surprised about it. Earlier this year, we heard about him interviewing and almost getting the Packers job that he was up for president, you know, the Packers. And so, you know, once it's kind of public that you're starting to look for another job, isn't it pretty you know, in any industry, isn't it pretty obvious that that things are ending at your current job? So, you know, I think it's an interesting day for Commanderland because, you know, there's a lot of folks that like some of the things that Jason Wright did. But ultimately, I think his lasting legacy is going to be that Commander's name. And I think we know how folks feel about that.
Yeah, folks are still not excited. What do you think this means, if anything, for a rebrand? Does it usher it in? Does it make it faster? Do you feel like he was an advocate for this name that everybody hates still? Or what do you think it means?
No, I don't think he had enough power once Josh Harrison Company took over to really kind of have a hand in all that and a say in that. ultimately it's going to come down to, you know, what the ownership group wants to do. And to that extent, I got to be honest, that I think they're handling this with, you know, much more, in a nicer way than obviously the previous ownership would have. I think keeping him on and letting him, you know, be a consultant and give him the opportunity to look for a new job and then, you know, kind of help facilitate that. So I think that, you know, as far as, you know, culture and all those different things that, that folks like to talk about, I think that Jason did a good job of kind of ushering in some better things on that side. But ultimately, the new ownership group is kind of extending a nice hand to him.
Yeah, and this isn't new or specific to Wright. I mean, they did this even on the football side to some extent with the Marty Party and some of the guys they've kept around in different roles and as advisors, and they didn't just come in and blow a bunch of people out. So there's some dignity and some class and some decorum that you'd expect from these guys. Going back, though, to Wright and the name, what's your opinion on how involved Dan was in Commanders versus Jason and his team? Because I don't know if it matters, but it seems to me like people think that Dan chose the name. I've never really thought that.
Yeah, I never really thought that Commanders was Dan's choice. But at the same time, we know how involved he was with everything that the franchise did, so I have no doubt that he did have a say in it, obviously, and a hand in it. But ultimately, you know, Jason was the front face of it, and, you know, he was the one that was out there saying that, you know, we're going to listen to what the fans say. We're going to take that into account. And at the end of the day, you know, I think we can all agree that that name was decided on before any, you know, votes or any public thought or fan, you know, injection into it was. So, you know, ultimately, Dan definitely had a say in it. But to me, it's Jason's burden to carry.
Rookies reported today. That's the like a matters of actual football here as training camp kind of gets underway. What's the schedule here for this week? Are they not practicing until next week, or is that when the first open practice is? Well, what are the rookies doing until the vets get here middle of next week?
Yeah, the rookies are getting their feet wet. You know, they're doing what rookies do. Once the vets come, I don't know that there's a ton of rookies that are going to get a whole lot of reps, especially early on in practice outside of Jaden Daniels. So I think it's an opportunity for them to kind of get their feet under them, understand what the expectation is for training camp, get a feel for how everything's going to run kind of day to day, and ultimately for them to get opportunity to hit the field running and be ready to go once the vets show up.
Mitch Tischler of Monumental. All right, before we let you go then, 5 years from now, July 18th, 2029, will the Commanders have a different name?
I don't think so. To me, if and when they change it would be maybe in congruency with when they open a new stadium, and I don't think there's going to be a new stadium within the next 5 years.
Ugh.
So ultimately, I think fans are kind of stuck with this Commander's name for a little bit here.
Not having a new stadium in 5 years, it would be a disaster of epic proportions, but we're headed that way.
Yeah, I was going
right
to say,
now.
What's the worst-case scenario? You mean the scenario?
Say it again?
I said, what's the worst case scenario? I think the exact scenario that's about to happen. Like, you literally just laid it out, and that's so terrible.
Listen, I'm talking about when a new stadium opens, not that a stadium's not going to be agreed to by that point. And
if a stadium's, you know, not agreed to at that point, I mean, I don't even want to tell you what I'm thinking.
Listen, the longer they spend it at FedEx, I think everyone knows how poor that is, including Josh Harris and everybody else in that business side.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That is your Beltway Blitz with our friend Mitch Tischler covering the Commanders. Yeah, I've said this many times. Every single minute they spend at the X is a mistake. Every minute they spend at that stadium does more irreparable damage to the product.
Mm-hmm.
There is no lipstick that makes that pig look good. You can't fix that stadium with a coat of paint, with a cool mural, with hard work, you know, being nicer to fans. It's a disaster. And urgency has to be high on the priority list here with the next stadium. If you can get a really cool, beautiful thing over by RFK in 2035, or you could do something in 2029 in Maryland, I'm sorry. The Maryland thing slides up the list because timing matters. You are doing that stadium has done more damage to the brand than anything not named Dan Snyder, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's probably the two seed
in the last 20 years. It's the experiences. Now, the team being awful is a different category, and that's number one probably. But when you go there and you don't have fun, and when it's ranked dead last on every list, and when the experiences are gross, other than Dan, I'm not sure what else there's been that's been more of a detriment. And to continue to just sign up for more and more and more of it in perpetuity while we, I don't know, are we spinning our tires? Are our tires even moving? Are we stuck in neutral? Are we just stuck in the mud? I don't know what this is. But he's right. I mean, it is 2024 already. We're about to embark on the season. It's very possible that they are still playing there in 2029 at this point. Because
it's likely.
I'm not ready to say that yet. Likely, that's tough. Then I got to start preparing for that. And I mean, it takes 3 years to build a stadium. The suggestion is that they can't be ready to break ground in like a year and a half.
That's what I'm suggesting.
I don't buy that. I think when the levee breaks, the water's going to come flowing. Like tomorrow, we could find out. The Wetzels are thrilled. Everyone's cool. Everyone's on board. They're getting the land, whatever. And then next thing you know, we're skiing downhill. But there's got to be developments.
Yeah.
The other thing is, how long do you wait and continue to play the game with D.C. politics before you just say, or I guess that this is even federal politics, not even D.C.?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the D.C. council part yet. Let them weigh in and watch it go fast.
That's a great point.
That's my point here.
That's our next one, is when Muriel Bowser and the D.C. folks get their hands on this thing without the money.
Yeah, with the feds moving at light speed over there. Yeah. Like, here comes Timmy the Tortoise round the bend. No way.
That's after. We haven't even bought the car yet.
That's my point.
Like, when we bring the car home, then they get to do everything they want to do with the car. We haven't even gotten the car back yet, right? But at some point, you just kind of look over at Maryland and you go, I could build something pretty cool. It'd be pretty awesome.
We already own the land.
Got that land already. Does Jason Wright no longer being team president make it easier to change the name or change what will happen with the name in any way? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The St. Petersburg City Council has approved the Rays' new $1.3 billion stadium in the Tampa St. Pete area.
Amazing to me.
I am the woman whose buddies are always showing off their engagement rings And I've got to sit here and go, oh, nice. It's so pretty. Why does everyone else get stadiums? Everybody gets a damn stadium deal. You get one. Danny, do you want one?
I'd love one.
Here you go. Let me just, here's your stadium deal.
Thank you. Oh, thanks.
Garris, would you like a stadium deal? I've got a couple in my back pocket here.
Yeah, I'll take one. Sure.
All right, great. No problem. Here you go. Ryan, I heard you were looking for a stadium deal.
I'd love a new stadium.
How much money are you looking for your deal? How big a stadium are we talking?
We're talking like 65,000 seats here.
Here we go. No problem.
Hey, thank nice, you. Ryan. You got one. Nice.
Thank you.
Hey, I'd like one. Shut your mouth.
You shut up when you're talking to me.
But at least 10 years will go by, and I'll just keep pretending like you're going to get a stadium.
But Kansas City can't get one, which doesn't make me feel better, by the way. But still, that's like the only other example I can think of. Everyone else is like, yeah, listen, no one goes to Tampa games. They probably shouldn't even be there, to be honest with you.
They can't quite figure out the Kansas versus Missouri thing. But also, the good news is, you know what? I don't even like the comp. You're right that they're having a hard time with
their plans. That was my only point, yeah.
They're having a hard time with their plans because the two states are fighting. We've got the two states and then D.C. in a battle royale.
And then here's the federal government just sort of walking around with, like, stink bombs.
Let me know when the Chiefs aren't able to get their stadium because the federal government is a pain in the butt.
Well, you know what happened with the Chiefs? This is true. Did you hear about this? There's a senator from Maryland, and then there's a senator from a totally different state that doesn't even border them.
Montana.
That also is like, no, you got to do this. Yeah. Then there's, again, the committee. You forgot about the committee guy?
Yeah, I'm so sure. But the thing that makes it not work for me, and that it's not relatable, Chiefs fans don't get to complain. Mm-hmm. Number one, they have Patrick Mahomes, and they win every Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure we do, dog.
So I don't care if they're playing at a high school stadium. Go away from
me. We could probably sell it out. Like, if it was me, Trav, a couple other guys, Coach Reed, we'd be there. We'd sell it out.
That's number one. Number two, Danny. Arrowhead Stadium is one of the most beloved stadiums in the NFL. I don't know what I don't know. Mm. Maybe it's falling apart. Maybe it's coming apart at the seams. I've never heard a single person go there and not talk about how awesome it is. Is it old? Sure. Just like Kauffman Stadium's really old. They're trying to get a new ballpark for the Royals as well. You know what's still super nice? I was just there a few years ago. Kauffman. It's a gorgeous place to watch a baseball game. Arrowhead Stadium with the tailgating and the noise and the energy. It is a revered, kind of vaunted, one of the elite stadiums in the National Football League. The X is none of those things. The Commanders need a new stadium and can't get one because they're number 32 or 31, however many stadiums there are. Giants and Jets share, Chargers. So maybe there's 30 of them. We're 30. The Chiefs are not. They're way up toward the top of the list. They want one. They don't need one. They want one. Very, very different. But you're right. They have had a tough time. Everyone else, the Jaguars, they decide on a Wednesday they want a new stadium. I think they opened it on Thursday.
They're like Friday morning, like, you guys, it's done.
I don't even know how it was built so quickly. You'd think it would take months or maybe even years. But no, like Wednesday, the Jaguars were like, we want a stadium. And then they played a game there that Sunday. It's incredible what they were able to pull off. Not us.
It does feel like that, by the way.
Not
I know,
up in here.
Listen, I know it's not. I know they didn't decide on a Tuesday, get approved on a Wednesday, and play on Friday. I know that. But the way I track it, because it's like not first thing on my radar, that's how it feels like. It feels like within the hour, they're like, now you got a game.
I'll give you another one. I was in Arlington, Texas, right outside of Jerry's World the last several days.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Globe Life Field, which is very nice, by the way. Air-conditioned baseball. Those of you that don't get it, you just don't get it. It's like the Washington Post back in the day. Baseball games indoors are perfectly fine. In fact, every ballpark ever built should have a roof on it. You want to go retractable roof? I will allow it, but you cannot build a ballpark anymore without air conditioning. I'm tired of rain delays. I'm tired of being inconvenienced by the weather. It's nonsense. And it's hot also.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit at Nats Park when it's 107 degrees and the sun's burning me up. And
just on the first base side?
I got to take my kids home early or take them into the concourse because it's too hot on Father's Day. No, let's have a roof. We should all have roofs. But anyways, Globe Life Field is good. They also still use the ballpark in Arlington, which is right next door, which I didn't realize. Are you familiar with that premises over there? So it's like Jerry's World, Globe Life. The ballpark in Arlington, and for some reason I'll never understand, a Six Flags. That's like in just this flat area where you can see all the roller coasters. And
well, that's Texas, dude. They got some flat ground out there.
It's just very strange.
Yeah.
But it's all like right there. You can just hit golf balls from one to the other. Well, the ballpark in Arlington, I didn't realize, still hosts high school games, college games, still used frequently. All of the fan fest stuff that Major League Baseball's done, and year to year, is normally at like convention centers indoors. Mm-hmm. You run around on, you know, they lay down like the equivalent of like putt-putt turf or something. But like, this was all in the old ballpark, just in the concourse. You could walk down to the field and do stuff as well. It's still in decent shape. I'm going to name drop for a second, if you guys are cool with that.
All right, let me get my weight belt on to protect my back. All right, ready? Here we go. I'll lift it.
I was having a conversation a couple nights ago with Rafael Palmeiro.
Hello there.
Sorry about that.
Clank. Why was that so heavy?
Oh, let me just pick up that name. So I'm having a conversation with Rafael Palmeiro.
I got it. I'm holding. Okay.
This is going to be tough.
Yeah.
At the bar. Okay. How you doing over there so far?
So far, I'm very into the story.
This is tough.
Did he snap his fingers and point at you?
He didn't.
Like he did to Congress?
He should be in the hall, by the way. 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. I don't care if it was steroids or a B12 shot. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest hitters of all time. You guys are doing it wrong if you're holding out the guys that you know did steroids and a bunch of guys you have no clue if they did it or not are getting in. Also, it's a museum, so get over yourselves. But anyways, I was there giving him a standing ovation when he came back from his steroid suspension. Right after 3,000 hits. True story. I told him that, by the way. I don't know if he loved that part.
Was he into that part?
The mentioning of the steroid suspension was probably not my best bullet.
Did you open with that? Hi, Ravi. Good to see you. Guess what I did?
That was deeper into our... That was after we were boys. So anyway.
Okay. Sorry. The story's been derailed. You dropped this huge name. Yeah. Now we're on a tangent. Please tell me the Palmeiro story.
Well, here's how it actually relates directly to what we're talking about on the Grant and Danny radio program.
He has a stadium, too?
He has his own stadium. He opened it. Yeah. No. So... I said to him, I said, I don't understand this. I said, I just went over to the ballpark in Arlington where you played all your games here. I said, don't get me wrong, I love Globe Life Field. But did they need a new ballpark? Because I'm now seeing this place after years of it not being upkept.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to some extent it is, but not like you would if it was still the current ballpark.
Right, right, right.
And it's still, you could play a big league game there this week. I'm like, what am I missing? And he basically said, no, they didn't really need a new ballpark. They wanted one. He said, basically... This is his gist. What he had always heard was Dallas was going to swoop in to try to get the Rangers. They wanted to move them to Dallas because Dallas had lost like the Cowboys, wherever they were, Irving or something, mm-hmm. and moved to Arlington for Jerry's World. So because of that, just not waiting, not allowing any nonsense, however and whoever.
Heading them off at the pass.
They just said, we'll just build another one next door right now so this never becomes a thing. And that's kind of how it happened.
Dude.
And my point is, imagine that.
The preemptive swoop in.
Right. Like, here we are saying FedEx, the X, I'm sorry, has been the worst stadium in the league for a decade.
Yeah.
We have been talking about this organization finding a new stadium for that long. The renderings with the moat from Goose Allen, what year were those? Was that 2013 or something?
I want to say 13 or 14.
I mean, that has been, I was literally a young, fresh out of college person then. And... they just did a thing where they're like, there's a chance we're going to have to fight for this. Let's just build a stadium real quick.
Like, could you imagine, like, D.C. going, you guys, Maryland might get this thing. We're just going to build one. Or something. You know, like, or Maryland being like, we're just going to start building just so the D.C. can't get it.
It wasn't even old. It opened, I think, in 94. Uh-huh. Camden Yards was 92. I believe the ballpark in Arlington was April of 94. So it wasn't even, to this moment, it's 29 years old or whatever. Is that math right?
About that.
Yeah. I think it turns 30 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been used in close to 5 years. But it just, everyone gets them, man. Everyone gets a stadium.
And here's the thing.
It just seems so easy for everyone else.
Well,
and I
was
know what
in...
my dad would say. My dad would say, I'm not Jeff Howell's dad when he fails the test.
Right.
Like, I go up and I'm like, he's like, why'd you fail the test? And I'm like, Jeff failed the test too. And he's like, I don't care about Jeff. Like, maybe Josh Harris would say, we're not other people, Grant. I don't care about the other
teams. We're not other teams.
But I want mine. Where is mine, for God's sake? And Virginia, you had it. You had it right there in your hands.
Yeah, you've got to sit so many plays out. We're not returning your calls for a while.
We're the only place that hates stadiums. I don't get it. They're fun. They're nice to go to. You ever had a new stadium? You haven't because you live here.
The answer is no.
2008 Nats Park. Remember that when you walked in? It was pretty cool.
Walk right down the
and
street.
That wasn't even a particularly great one.
No.
Like, they didn't do a whole lot of build. That was like fairly quick.
Rudimentary.
I'm pretty sure it was a record build. No bits.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 12 months. I could be making this up. Ryan, do a little digging on that. But it was like one of the fastest stadium builds ever. I remember being there opening night, and they're like, they fixed all this stuff now, but there were like leaks in the concourse.
Oh yeah,
on like a rainy night.
But the here's what I get: when a multi-billion dollar at the time, now they're worth even more, organization or team that's iconic. Like when they're building the new Yankee Stadium, they're doing it pretty much just like the old Yankee Stadium, but just with nicer luxury suites so they can make more money. They got their own television network. They are churning it out, right? They're making all the money. The demand is outrageous. I get that. I get that a team like that gets the new digs, right? If the Dodgers wanted to move out of Dodger Stadium, they should probably get a nice stadium, and they probably would, right? At some point, right? Not that they would, but you know what I'm saying? Like that brand, I get it. 8 people a month go to Rays games, even when they're good. There's never been less interest in anything than people going to Tampa Bay Rays games. For whatever reason. The only reason they got a team in the first place because that was where George Steinbrenner's offseason home was, and he just shoehorned it so the D.C. didn't get one or something. Like, that, they shouldn't get a stadium. The Marlins shouldn't get a stadium. This one, right here. We got the demand. We got it. You know what I mean? We got the people still give a crap. Like, we were selling them out at the worst stadium in the sport as recently as 5 years ago. Now, the attendance has kind of whittled a little bit, but don't look at that part. There's still interest, and there's still zero progress in that regard. That's the one that's tough for me to swallow.
Nats Park took 23 months to build, looking it up here, from early 06 to March of 08. So that's number one. The Arlington UFL team uses the old ballpark in Arlington, and I believe all the other teams might practice there. I know that they are set up there because I was talking to a couple people. That's like the main hub for the league. They all live there. I don't know if there's other practice fields they use or if they all rotate through.
Oh, so they converted it from baseball, basically, so now it's full-time.
No, it's very much baseball still. Like, college baseball teams use it. I think it's turf probably or something. I'm not sure. But, yeah, they use it. It's out of season at that point for the most part, right. I guess. But, yeah, the UFL team uses it as well, and they converted for football for that. Maybe they go full Oakland A's back in the day, where like Robert Griffin in 2013 was running over the infield dirt, getting tackled for the Redskins against the Raiders. That is such a bad look. I looked at pictures of that recently. Me and Heisty were up in the press box just looking at that old stadium. That used to be so gross. The Niners had that back in the day at Candlestick, too, with the
turn
with the Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you turn on like a 4 o'clock game. It would never be Summerall, really. Maybe if like the Niners were playing the Cowboys, it's like Summerall and Madden. But you'd see like Emmitt Smith running across that infield against like Garrison Hurst.
And the ground changes. Yeah, I could have sworn I saw this once. Maybe I'm making it up. But Bo Jackson talked about that when they were in Oakland forever ago, right, with the Raiders. And he was like, I used to hate runs off left tackle. Not because their left tackle was bad or the plays weren't good, but it meant I had to run on the dirt more. You know what I mean? Like, I like going to the right better because it was away from the infield. You know what I mean? Like, NFL,
not
man.
Running on. Yeah. I can't imagine being tackled on that.
No.
I saw, I think it was Travis Kelce maybe from early in his career talking about like every time you went down, you thought you were going to break ribs or something. Just being
different.
Tackled on that dirt. Awful. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jason Wright out as president of the Commanders. What will that do for the team trying to potentially get a new name at some point? Well, let's talk about that next on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We appreciate you. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight. And then overtime with Linnell deep into the evening. No Nats baseball. They'll be back in action tomorrow, a Friday through Sunday set at home against the Cincinnati Reds. You get to see one of the most exciting players in all of baseball. Just took part in the All-Star game. Elly De La Cruz come to town. Elly De La Cruz has 46 stolen bases, Danny. He is on pace for 76 steals this year. We've only had one 75 steal season since 1992. Now, the rules have changed, and it's easier to steal bases than it used to be. Bases are a little bit bigger. You're only allowed to throw over a couple of times. You throw over a third time, you don't get a guy. He's automatically awarded second, although he doesn't get a steal for that. And there are some other changes, I think, whether it's you know, gameplay and the pitch clock and being able to time things a little more that have made it easier to steal. But I don't really care about all that. My point is just, you got to go back almost 40 years to find the last time somebody was putting up stolen base totals like Ellie De La Cruz is this year, and he's 6'5" and change. He has 17 homers. He might homer 30 times in the process. This is just one of the most exciting players in the sport coming to D.C. this weekend.
Yeah, shades of Eric Davis, right? I mean, that's who we're talking about. Also another Cincinnati Red whose career was robbed because of injuries in that terrible old, you know, AstroTurf or Riverfront Stadium back in the day. But Ricky Henderson type stuff, Eric Davis type stuff. And both those guys were, I mean, obviously Henderson was more squat and had those huge legs and, you know, wasn't like an enormous guy, was very strong. Davis was like an unbelievable athlete, but you just said it. He looks like a small forward.
Eric Davis, if he was 3 inches taller and had more power and more speed.
Yeah, and 40 more pounds of muscle.
Then he might be, yeah, but I get your point. I mean, this right? is a, he was a multi-time All-Star, won a Derby title and, you know, won a World Series and was a Silver Slugger.
Yeah, these are these like crossover, the five-tool thing. You say five tools, but you don't really mean five. No, that's all the tools. Everyone you can have, he's got.
My dad texted me, who doesn't watch a ton of baseball and is not, you know, a huge sports fan, but he'll watch it casually and enjoy. And the one question he asked me about the All-Star game, like the one text I got, he goes, how big is this De La Cruz guy? And he's 6'5 and change, but he's 22, by the way. Think about that. Remember, we went to Nats Park to see him last year just to put eyeballs on this dude. He's already been in the big leagues for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 21 as a rookie last year, and he's got already some 200 games under his belt as a 22-year-old. And it's he's got some swing and miss. Like, he's never going to, I don't think, be a guy that hits wins a batting title or anything, but he's going to hit a lot of home runs, steal a lot of bases, and play just an electric brand of ball. He's a guy that first to third on a bunt, you know, could score from first on a pop out, and, you know, if it's not caught right beyond the dirt. Like, we've seen that kind of stuff already.
He's one of those dudes that you got to see to believe. Right. Again, and it seems like there's more and more of those guys in pro sports now than there ever were. There have always been freaks. Like when I was a kid, Ralph Sampson moved around at 7'2", 7'3", like nobody ever had. Ended up with injuries, derailed his career. But there have always been like a couple. Now it seems like everybody's got one. Does that make sense? Like it used to be like this once in a blue moon, you'd see it. Now it's like, well, this guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is 7 foot tall, handles it like a guard, and takes one dribble from half court to dunk it. This guy, Victor Wembanyama, moves around like a two guard at 7'4". This guy, Alex Saar, even though he went over a million the other day, again, is 7'2", moves around like, I don't know, Byron Scott did back in the day as a two guard. Then we haven't gotten to baseball yet, where Shohei Ohtani throws 100 and also hits the ball further than anyone else.
And that was the best thing.
It's everybody.
Seeing him homer in the All-Star game, just turn on that pitch and go 400. Sexy. Seeing Skeens as advertised, that was awesome. Watching him. I'll tell you who really blew me away. Like, Skeens in person, there was an aura to that. That was neat. Mason Miller of the A's, who was sitting 102.
Yeah.
The hardest thrower maybe in all of baseball. Now, it's an inning at a time for him instead of Skeens, who occasionally touches 102 as a starter. But Miller this year has been clocked at 104, which is like up there with Chapman for some of the hardest pitches in the history of Major League Baseball.
People don't understand. That's not just a number. The difference between 85 and 90 is a big jump.
Yeah.
Right? Just when you're seeing a baseball up at home plate. You can tell the difference.
Fastest pitch I've ever seen this was off a machine.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you an idea, I didn't play college baseball like Danny, right? I put a machine at 94, and I actually think machines are more difficult than like a pitcher, for what it's worth, because you can't see the whole windup and time it up, but that's not the point. Machine at 94 just took like 15 swings and tipped one foul, like directly into the mitt. It wouldn't have moved off of its path, but I could hear the ping. I could be like, tick. And I was like, oh my God, I touched it. And that was the best accomplishment at 94. Now I had 10 to that, bro.
10 more beyond that. Just beyond, like, units of five at that stage are so profoundly different. The difference between, I think the biggest jump is between 90 and 95.
Yeah.
Just feeling-wise. Like, 90, if you're sitting on it, you're in rhythm, you can still get the head out. 95 is just different, dude. Once you're up there, you're already at ludicrous speed. It's already stupid. You already have to cheat and guess and, you know, start your swing way early, and you're probably getting fooled by every breaking ball, changeup, splitter, splinker, or whatever new thing they invent this month.
The new splinker. Yeah. That's the split sink for Skeens at 96.
But at 95, which was gas our entire lives, now it's like oh, well, 95. He doesn't really let up the radar gun anymore. This dude throws 104, 104 miles an hour. A human being? Not a cyborg?
Oh, by the way, we're trying to figure out why the batting average, on average in Major League Baseball, this year in the 240s, is the lowest it's been since 1960.
I can't figure it out. I don't know what the correlation is.
They changed the rules to help hitters in 1968 into 69 when it was this bad before. And the other year was 2022, and that's when they changed all the rules to help again then, right? They said, oh, well, let's add offense. Let's make sure there's no shifts. Let's do this. Let's do that. So both times in the history it's ever been like this, they've changed rules to try to help for more offense after. It's just pitching is that good. Top of the hour next here on Grant and Danny. We will get back into the departure of Jason Wright and what it means for a new name, maybe, for the Commanders. This is The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We appreciate you. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight. And then overtime with Linnell deep into the evening. No Nats baseball. They'll be back in action tomorrow, a Friday through Sunday set at home against the Cincinnati Reds. You get to see one of the most exciting players in all of baseball. Just took part in the All-Star game. Elly De La Cruz come to town. Elly De La Cruz has 46 stolen bases, Danny. He is on pace for 76 steals this year. We've only had one 75 steal season since 1992. Now, the rules have changed, and it's sure easier to steal bases than it used to be. Bases are a little bit bigger. You're only allowed to throw over a couple of times. You throw over a third time, you don't get a guy. He's automatically awarded second, although he doesn't get a steal for that. And there are some other changes, I think, whether it's gameplay and the pitch clock and being able to time things a little more that have made it easier to steal. But I don't really care about all that. My point is just, you got to go back almost 40 years to find the last time somebody was putting up stolen base totals like Elly De La Cruz is this year, and he's 6'5" and change. He has 17 homers. He might homer 30 times in the process. This is just one of the most exciting players in the sport coming to D.C. this weekend.
Yeah, shades of Eric Davis, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Also another Cincinnati Red whose career was robbed because of injuries in that terrible old, AstroTurf or Riverfront Stadium back in the day. But Ricky Henderson type stuff, Eric Davis type stuff. And both those guys were, I mean, obviously Henderson was more squat and had those huge legs and, wasn't like an enormous guy. Was very strong. Davis was like an unbelievable athlete, but you just said it. He looks like a small forward.
Eric Davis, if he was 3 inches taller and had more power and more speed,
and 40 more pounds of muscle,
then he might be, yeah, but I get your point. I mean, this right? He was a multi-time All-Star, won a Derby title and, won a World Series and was a Silver Slugger.
Yeah, these crossover, the five-tool thing. You say five tools, but you don't really mean five. No, that's all the tools. Everyone you can have, he's got.
My dad texted me, who doesn't watch a ton of baseball and is not, a huge sports fan, but he'll watch it casually and enjoy. And the one question he asked me about the All-Star game, like the one text I got, he goes, how big is this De La Cruz guy? And he's 6'5 and change, but he's 22, by the way. Think about that. Remember, we went to Nats Park to see him last year just to put eyeballs on this dude. He's already been in the big leagues for two seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 21 as a rookie last year, and he's got already some 200 games under his belt as a 22-year-old. And he's got some swing and miss. Like, he's never going to, I don't think, be a guy that wins a batting title or anything, but he's going to hit a lot of home runs, steal a lot of bases, and play just an electric brand of ball. He's a guy that first to third on a bunt, could score from first on a pop out, and if it's not caught right beyond the dirt. Like, we've seen that kind of stuff already.
He's one of those dudes that you got to see to believe, right? Again, and it seems like there's more and more of those guys in pro sports now than there ever were. There have always been freaks. Like, when I was a kid, Ralph Sampson moved around at 7'2", 7'3", like nobody ever had, ended up with injuries, derailed his career. But there have always been like a couple. Now it seems like everybody's got one. Do Does that make sense? Like, it used to be like this once in a blue moon, you'd see it. Now it's like, well, this guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is 7 foot tall, handles it like a guard, and takes one dribble from half court to dunk it. This guy, Victor Wembanyama, moves around like a two guard at 7 foot four. This guy, Alex Sarr, even though he went over for a million the other day, again, is 7'2", moves around like, I don't know, Byron Scott did back in the day as a two guard. Then we haven't gotten to baseball yet, where Shohei Ohtani throws 100 and also hits the ball further than anyone else.
That was the best thing.
It's everybody.
Seeing him homer in the All-Star game, just turn on that pitch and go 400. Sexy. Seeing Skeens as advertised, that was awesome. Watching him. I'll tell you who really blew me away. Like, Skeens in person, there was an aura to that. That was neat. Mason Miller of the A's, who was sitting 102.
Yeah.
The hardest thrower maybe in all of baseball. Now, it's an inning at a time for him instead of Skeens, who occasionally touches 102 as a starter. But Miller this year has been clocked at 104, which is like up there with Chapman for some of the hardest pitches in the history of Major League Baseball.
People don't understand. That's not just a number. The difference between 85 and 90 is a big jump.
Yeah.
Right? Just when you're seeing a baseball up at home plate. You can tell the difference.
Fastest pitch I've ever seen off a machine.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you an idea, I didn't play college baseball like Danny, right? I put a machine at 94, and I actually think machines are more difficult than like a pitcher, for what it's worth, because you can't see the whole windup and time it up, but that's not the point. Machine at 94 just took like 15 swings and tipped one foul, like directly into the mid. It wouldn't have moved off of its path, but I could hear the ping. I could be like, and I was like, oh my God, I touched it. And that was the best accomplishment at 94. Now I had 10 to that, bro.
10 more beyond that. Just beyond, like, units of five at that stage are so profoundly different. The difference between, I think the biggest jump is between 90 and 95.
Yeah.
Just feeling-wise. Like, 90, if you're sitting on it, you're in rhythm, you can still get the head out. 95 is just different, dude. Once you're up there, you're already at ludicrous speed. It's already stupid. You already have to cheat and guess and, you know, start your swing way early, and you're probably getting fooled by every breaking ball, changeup, splitter, splinker, or whatever new thing they invent this month.
The new splinker. Yeah. That's the split sink for Skeens at 96.
But at 95, which was gas our entire lives, now it's like, oh, well, 95. He doesn't really let up the radar gun anymore. This dude throws 104, 104 miles an hour. A human being? Not a cyborg?
Oh, by the way, we're trying to figure out why the batting average, on average in Major League Baseball, this year in the 240s, is the lowest it's been since 1960.
I can't figure it out. I don't know what the correlation is.
They changed the rules to help hitters in 1968 into 69 when it was this bad before. And the other year was 2022, and that's when they changed all the rules to help again then, right? They said, oh, well, let's add offense. Let's make sure there's no shifts. Let's do this. Let's do that. So both times in the history it's ever been like this, they've changed rules to try to help for more offense after. It's just pitching is that good. Top of the hour next here on Grant and Danny. We will get back into the departure of Jason Wright and what it means for a new name, maybe, for the Commanders. This is The Fan.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.